Chapter 1. I have enjoyed reading through the book of James and trying to glean something to help me to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. James is rather direct in the way that he approaches things. There's no sense to monkey around about it. Amen. And he just says it like it is. You know, our world today has tried to spare everybody's feelings, spare everybody's opinions, that we dance around all these subjects that are Bible truths and need to have Bible truth taught to us and to learn Bible truth. And if you go around them the way the modernist churches are, you'll have people that come to church and feel good about themselves but never change. And you know, God is all about changing. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. I think that's changed by the renewing of your mind. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. I think that's change. Amen? And he tells us in Ephesians and in Colossians, put off the old man, put on the new man. I believe that's change. Amen? And so we're all about sparing the feelings or the thoughts of others, so we don't want to be too direct. But you know, James is rather direct to the early church. And we need to be Christian enough to accept what God speaks to us about. And you know, a lot of times it's not about being right or wrong, it's about being a Christian. It's about doing what God tells us to do in the Bible, what God commands us to do. And so I want you to look at verse number 19. We didn't get much past the first part, but thank the Lord that he spoke last week and some folks heard. And so we'll try to do our best to go on. If the Holy Spirit stops us, then we'll just stop. Amen. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. With the Lord's help tonight, I want to preach on a time for change. A time for change. Now, as we mentioned last week, the man here, James, is trying to instruct God's people on how to live the Christian life. Everybody that's present tonight, everybody that's ever claimed the name of God, must learn to live the Christian life. It is something that is a process or a progressive work that's done in our life. I wish I could tell you that I have attained, but I have not. And I have good news, neither has anyone else. I do not believe it, as some have preached in generations past, in total sanctification. I wish I did. I wish I could get it and never have to battle sin again. But everybody that I read that talks about total sanctification misses it. Now, I believe we can be holy. Amen? And I believe we're commanded to be holy. And I believe we're commanded to walk in the Spirit, not fulfill the lust of the flesh. I believe we're commanded to put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. But every time I think I've got this thing figured out and worked out, I have somebody else inside of me that pops his head up. And that's that old nature. And boy, he can just come in just so slick and so fast before I ever know it. And so I constantly have to be on my guard. So the command here is in verse number 19. The wherefore means as follows. My beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear. That means ready, prompt. we ought to always be ready to hear the Word of God. We ought to always be ready to attend to the Word of God. Until I come, give attendance to the reading of the Scripture. We ought to be ready to hear. Therefore, we ought to be ready to read and ready to listen at all times. Never know when God might speak. I was praying yesterday morning, and I was right over here in this general area. I was down here walking around, and I was praying somewhere right in this general area. And just as quick as I was praying, the Holy Spirit spoke to me about doing something. And He never spoke again. And so I did it. Say, what happened? I just did what He told me to do. You know, sometimes we're afraid to hear for fear of what might be said. Everybody asked me when I called back home, they said, how's the family doing? I said, as much as I know, well, I don't ask a lot of questions. The less I know, the better off I am. That's good advice. Amen? I said, if I knew everything my kids were doing or not doing, drive me crazy worrying. I'd be like Job, amen? I'd be offering sacrifices all the time for him. And so the command is be swift to hear, prompt, ready. But be slow to speak. Now I want to talk to you a little bit today about this, not stay here a long time. But I just want us to remind ourselves that every word that comes out of your mouth, you will account to God for. Now that's kind of interesting to me because some talk more than others. But every word that's spoken, not only will we give an account for, but has an effect upon somebody else. The Bible says in the book of Proverbs that the words that we speak are either life or death. They either help somebody or they hurt somebody. Sometimes our words come so quickly we don't realize how we say things. I am notorious for saying things and I don't mean them the way they sound, but sometimes the way they sound is the way that somebody else takes them. Boy, we need to be careful. The Bible says, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt. Sadly, mine's not always like that. The Bible says that we're to watch our words. I don't have time to read the multitude of verses throughout the Bible about this, but I would like for you to turn in your Bible and to Proverbs chapter number 10. Proverbs chapter number 10, and encourage you that have a tendency to talk more than you should, which is everybody but Jacob. He never even said amen. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 10 and verse number 19. Now if you underline in your Bible, you ought to highlight this, underline it, and write your name by it. In the multitude of words, there wanteth not sin. But he that refraineth his lips is wise. Have you ever known somebody that's always got an opinion? Whether you want it or not. I mean, they're always talking. Well, God said in the multitude of words, there's sin. You won't have to worry if there is. It's just a matter of when it comes up. Somebody's going to say something they ought not to be saying. Somebody's going to criticize. Somebody's going to be judgmental. I mean, we are just notorious for using our words for most everything other than glorifying God or propagating the gospel of Jesus Christ. So there's all kinds of things we could read. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, the Bible tells us. But the Bible also says, even a fool, when he holdeth his tongue, is wise. It's interesting, isn't it? And so tonight, James instructs the church, be ready to hear, be swift to hear, be very slow to speak. I believe we get that command in the book of Ecclesiastes that God says, since you're there in Proverbs, go over to Ecclesiastes for just a minute. And he gives us that charge there to be very careful when we come to the house of God that we don't run our mouth. Amen. Chapter 5 and verse 1, Ecclesiastes. This is interesting. Keep thy foot when thou goest to the house of God, and be more ready to hear than to give the sacrifice of fools, for they consider not that they do evil. Be not rash with thy mouth, and let not thy heart be hasty to utter anything before God. For God is in heaven, and thou upon the earth, therefore let thy words be a bunch. Always have an opinion. No, let thy words be few. For a dream cometh through the multitude of busyness, and a fool's voice is known by the multitude of words. When thou vowest a vow unto God, defer not to pay it, for he hath no pleasure in fools. Pay that which thou hast vowed. Better is it that thou shouldest not vow than that thou shouldest vow and not pay. Suffer not thy mouth to cause thy flesh to sin. Neither say thou before the angel that it was an error. Wherefore should God be angry at thy, what? Voice. And destroy the work of thine hands. How many people have gotten a tight spot and made a vow to God, and God, I'll do whatever, I'll do this, that, or the other case, what it may be. And then whenever God helps them, they back out of the vow. Well, I didn't mean it like that. Well, how else did you mean it? You meant it like that when you said it. God said, let your words be few when you come here. Be more ready to hear, ready to listen, ready to obey, ready to do simply do what God says than to make great boast of what you will do or you should do. So he said, be slow to speak. Slow to speak. Then back in James, he says, be slow to wrath. Wrath. Violent passion. Wrath is a deadly, deadly sin. The Bible says, I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath. I'm here to tell you tonight, there is nothing that is more deadly and harming in the modern day church than this thing of excessive anger. Now, you may not have it, but those of us that battle anger, it is excessive and it gets out of hand real quick. Over things that ought not to bother me at all. But I tell you, anger has a way and wrath has a way of instantly coming up. I mean, just a wrong word, just a wrong action. And I'm telling you, it can boil inside of you and get out of you before you ever know what happens. Wrath is a deadly thing. And so God's command is be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. Now the contrast is in verse number 20, for the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. I wrote here in my notes for me, never, ever is my wrath and God's righteousness compatible. Never have I acted in anger and pleased God. And neither have you. Never have I, let's use what we might say, thrown a fit and pleased the Lord. Never have I acted in a manner contrary to God and pleased Him in this matter of anger. Never have I taken the hammer and slapped something in anger. Never have I thrown my hands up in anger and pleased God. Never have I kicked at something and pleased God. Never have I silently been full of anger and pleased God. Sit there and boil. Stew, we might call it. And all that blood that fills your body ends up here. And you look like you and the sun have had a date. And I'm here to tell you, whether you're husband or wife, parent or child, child to parent, pastor to church, church to pastor, you to your neighbor, you to the country, you to any relation, to anybody else, you and I have never, ever acted in wrath and pleased God. You say, well, preacher, what about righteous wrath? Well, let me get a quick look here. I don't see any of us that's that righteous. Now, I hate sin. But I tell you what my tendency is. I can hate sin, but I usually have the tendency to forget the sin and go to the sinner. I mean, how can some people be as foolish as they are in life and be around me and me not get mad? How can people act in certain ways and it just not irritate us? Now don't think that you ain't ever acted in wrath. There ain't anybody here that ain't acted in wrath. Anybody that stewed over something and thought on something and said, I'll tell you what, I'm going to take a stand. But the problem is usually we stand in the wrong manner. I'm going to let my voice be heard. And boy, do we hear it. Boy, it's so hateful. So unkind. So full of nasty words. So full of sarcasm. Talking down. Wrath. You know, if we just had wrath, that'd be one thing. But I think I read somewhere, I'll see if I can find it here. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. There is a continuous progression that goes on in that verse that I just read to you. And so the caution is, listen, never think that the wrath of man worketh the righteousness of God. It never worketh the righteousness of God. It never produces glory to God. Now, we can read about the righteousness of God. Now, God can have righteous wrath or anger towards sin. But I'll tell you what, ladies and gentlemen, I struggle separating that. And I think most of you are just like me. Boy, I tell you, somebody does something to us, and I mean instantly, wrath happens. Something doesn't work out the way we think it happens, and instantly, wrath happens. You mention somebody's name, and instantly, wrath happens. I mean, it just comes up. It's violent. It like throws you into convulsions. Well, now, preacher, there was a time whenever I wasn't like that, but somebody did something to me. Yeah, I think maybe I read this verse. Have you ever heard this verse? Out of the heart proceedeth. Huh. Here's one. Oh, Lord. Lord just brought this to my mind. The Bible says, anger resteth in the bosom of fools. Oh, that's a rough one to read. Amen? Contention. Now, we don't have time to go through all them in the book of Proverbs. We'd never get done with this passage. But I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, we got contentious people that sit in the church and think they are perfect with God. Their wrath boils. Boy, I tell you what, they'll straighten everybody out if you give them a second. You just know this, and I need to know this, that never acting in wrath is God pleased. You remember that great hero of the faith, Moses? Remember him? I mean, he was kind of an iconic figure in the Old Testament. Described by God as the meekest man on earth until pushed to the limit. God said, Moses, go over there and smite the rock. Water will gush out. He did that. And he had heard that griping, complaining, unhappy, unsatisfied to 5 million people every day for many days hence. Where's water? Where's food? Moses, we're going back to Egypt. Moses, you did this. Moses, you did this. Blah, 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 blah. We ain't got no water. We ain't got no food. We're tired of this manna. Blah, 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 blah. About like modern day Baptists. Complaining to God. God said, Moses, go over to the rock and speak to the rock. Man, Moses was fed up with that crowd. He goes over at that rock, different rock, by the way, goes over at that rock. Says, I'm sick and tired of you bunch of griping, complaining people. God, help us. And smites that rock twice. And water gushed out. He got home and God said, now Moses, because you acted in wrath, because you didn't glorify me, you can't go into the kingdom. You know what? We forfeit a lot of blessings because of the way that we act in wrath. Well, you don't think that one's wrong. Let me give you another one. I'll tell you this one. Here's as amazing as any of them. You remember that guy they called a man after God's own heart, David? David was a very godly man. We praise God for David and all the psalms that he wrote in the Bible. Amen. All the lessons we learned from David, the killing of Goliath. I mean, great champion of God. David had been on the run for quite a while. Saul had been hounding him, pursuing him. David had done everything right. I mean, he had lived for God, he had served God, he had served the king faithfully, he had done whatever the king wanted. I mean, things were going good. And Saul got envious of him, the Bible says, and tried to kill him and tried to pursue him and kill him, and he was out there in the middle of nowhere, and he was on the run, been on the run. He couldn't, I mean, never a night that he could sleep sound. Every time he heard a little twig break, or if that's Saul, everybody betrayed him. The Keilites, they betrayed him. All them people, he's hiding up in the caves, up in the mountains. And it would be bad enough if it was just David, but it's his mighty men and his family, his mom and his dad. And Saul is just, and you'd think, now listen, you'd just think that God would kill Saul and get him out of the way because I'm living so good. I'll tell you what, there came a day when David was out in the wilderness and Nabal's servants were there. And David protected those servants from the enemies. Later on, David sent some of his men over to Nabal, and he said, hey, Nabal, he said, I kept your flocks and kept your men. They were, you know, from being hurt and all this. He said, would you mind just giving us a little bit of food for along our way? And old Nabal said, who's David? Who's the son of Jesse? This is my stuff. I don't owe David nothing. Bible says David got that message and he said, boom! Get everybody's sword on! If I tell you what, there's not one of them rascals going to be left that pisses against the wall by the time I'm done here. Boy, he slaps that sword on, gets on his mule. I'm telling you what, he takes off towards Nabal and he's got nothing but what on his mind. I don't think he's working for God right now. You know what, all that pressure and all that running and all that stuff built up in him, and I'm telling you, somebody's head's going to fly. Thank God there was a godly lady named Abigail who came over there and said, David, I didn't know he acted like that. Here's all the stuff that you need. Don't do anything that you would regret when you become king. You see, sometimes when we act in anger, it doesn't hurt us right then, but later on, we regret what we said. We regret what we did, how we acted. And if you don't, then you're probably not even saved. If you don't have some regret, some things you did, anger and how you acted out. He said the wrath of God doesn't work, or the wrath of man doesn't work, the righteousness of God. I don't want to go through all those verses, but I'm just here to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, we need to best be careful about this matter of this thing of wrath. I tell you, when you talk to somebody, you better guard yourself from what you might want to say. Well, there's times I've wanted to say something to somebody, and God's given me grace just to, whatever. But boy, if I'd ever say it, it wouldn't be pretty. The Bible says this, cease from anger, forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. Look over in Proverbs chapter 14 for just a minute. I'm telling you, if Moses, who's the meekest man, and David, who's a man after God's own heart, had a problem with this, maybe we ought to look and make sure we don't. Proverbs chapter 14. And we're just going to, I don't have them in any order, so we're just going to look through them real quick. Proverbs 14, 29, he that is slow to wrath is of great understanding. But he that is hasty of spirit exalteth folly. A hasty of spirit means you just get mad real quick. You exalt folly when you're like that. You exalt the fool when you're like that. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 1. A soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. What's the Bible say? Whenever you respond to somebody, don't respond the way they're responding. If you do, it'll stir up a lot of trouble. Proverbs chapter 19, verse number 19. A man of great wrath shall suffer punishment. For if thou deliver him, yet thou must do it again. That person that's always acting out is always in trouble. God said he'll suffer punishment somewhere along the line. He'll act out to the wrong person one time, or she'll say something to the wrong person one time, and somebody else that's a little bit sharper than she is will tear into her until she ain't got nothing left. Some old boy that's always angry, he'll find somebody bigger than him one day that's meaner than he is and angrier than he is. Chapter 21, verse number 24. Proud and haughty scorner is his name who dealeth in proud wrath. Did you see what he said? Proud and haughty scorner is his name who dealeth in proud wrath. Remember the devil? I will, I will, I will. God said, boy, you're going to go to hell. Boy, that Christian who's always full of wrath and anger, always got a word, always walking around with a chip on their shoulder, just looking, daring somebody to knock it off so they can blow up on them. God calls you the proud and haughty one. Look at chapter 27, verse 3 and 4. A stone is heavy, and the sand weighty. But a fool's wrath is heavier than them both. Wrath is cruel. Isn't it cruel? You can do some cruel things through wrath. And anger is outrageous. But who is able to stand before envy? Jesus couldn't. Look at chapter 29, verse number 8. Scornful men bring a city into a snare. That proud and haughty scorner man that we talked about. Scornful men bring a city into a snare, but wise men turn away wrath. Chapter 30 and verse number 33. Surely the churning of milk bringeth forth butter, and the wringing of the nose bringeth forth blood. So the forcing of wrath bringeth forth strife. God said, you just keep pushing the issue. Just keep stirring the pot, and you'll get what you ask for. You know, it'd be wise on you husband's part, wives' part, to learn not to churn the butter all the time. Be wise on our part as parents not to always churn the butter with our children. Provoke not your children to wrath, I think the Bible says. You say, well, preacher, if I don't want to... No, what he's talking at. No, you discipline them to where they don't act out. They start throwing a fit. You use the backside of their hind end that God meant to be used, and you break that will. Wrath. Well, that's a rough one, isn't it? Go back to James for just a minute. Let me read it again. My beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Verse 21 says, wherefore, or that word is a little different Greek word than the one up above. This word means consequently. Because of that, here's what I want you to do. Lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness. I want you to lay aside all this evil, this filthiness, this moral defilement, this wickedness, this exceeding measure of wickedness that's about us and in our nature. I want you to lay it aside, and I want you to receive the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. Now, he's not talking about salvation, but he's talking about preservation of your life as a Christian. There's been many a Christian who has ruined their testimony by acting out in a manner contrary to the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit is so sensitive to our life. And you can grieve or quench the Spirit whenever you act out in a manner contrary to the righteousness of God. How many times have we said something or done something and the Holy Spirit has been grieved by what's been said or done? We don't even know it because we're unaware of His presence. We're unaware of how He acts. We're unaware of His working in our heart. And we just, well, I'll tell you what, preacher, it was just right. You know, I think the Bible does say it's better to be defrauded than to be right when it comes to your relationship with the Holy Spirit. See, I'm talking about time for change, a time to be a Christian, time to be the Christian that God tells us to be in the Bible. So I'll tell you what, preacher, if we did that, everybody would walk over us. I believe we read Jesus was reviled, but reviled not. I'm telling you, all this stuff that the Bible teaches is so contrary to our nature. So contrary to our nature. Boy, I tell you, that wrath rises up, this way of living apart from God rises up. And no, God said, I want you to receive something. Now, how do you receive it? Okay, listen very carefully. I'm about done. When you hear the word, you have to do something with it. You can either push it away. I'm not going to do that. Or you can take it and not cultivate it. Let the weeds grow up, choke it out. Or you can prepare your heart to receive the word in the good soil. I know what it's like to not take the word of God, to hear it and say, doing that. Has anybody else ever done that? Heard something from God and, I ain't doing that. I've done that before. And I'll tell you what, ladies and gentlemen, I've never been blessed acting like that. But every time I have received His word and made it a part of my life, I have always been blessed. I have learned in the time that I have been a Christian, and especially since I've been a pastor, not an easy lesson to learn, but I've learned this. Brother Eric, Brother Isaiah, Gabe, and Mike, if you're going to be a pastor, let me tell you, it's a whole lot easier to let other people think they're right and you take the blame and just apologize. So I'm sorry, I didn't mean that. And then it's amazing how God blesses you. And it really don't matter who's right or who's wrong in the situation. So when people come and they're all bent out of shape over something that really don't make a whole lot of difference, I just try to practice assuming the wrong. Now, I'm not going to apologize for Bible truth, for Bible doctrine. I'm not going to move on that. But I'm talking about things that really don't matter. I wish I'd wrote this down. I mentioned this last week. In that letter of 2 Corinthians to the Apostle Paul, to the Corinthians, there was a man in 1 Corinthians who they had put out of the church. And because of sin. And they were right for doing it. And now the man had repented and they didn't want him to come back. They was making him do penance. And they were really going to be rough on him. And I read a commentary, and I wish I would have wrote this down because the thought was so wonderful. Whenever Paul writes in that particular chapter, and I don't know where it is, but anyway, he writes something about receiving the guy and the commentator wrote this. He said this. He said Paul wasn't taking his side or their side. Paul was establishing what was right. You know, so many times in our Christian life, we don't hear the word. We don't receive the word. And so when it comes time to practice it, we can't practice it because we haven't received any of it. We don't know what to do. We haven't received it. We haven't listened to it. We haven't been attentive to it. And so God brings you up to a situation and, well, I don't know what to do. How does a Christian act? So we just act our natural way, which is contrary to God. Had you been hearing the word and receiving the word, engrafted or made it a part of your life, then when that situation came up, you'd have said, ah, here's what Jesus wants me to do. Here's how a Christian responds to what I just happened to me. Now, I'm not preaching anything that ain't Bible. I'm just telling you, that's our trouble in our modern day church. We just want to say what we want, do what we want, and let God be happy or unhappy until we need Him. God said, now listen, if you're going to be a Christian, I want you to hear and I want you to receive what I got. And the more you receive, the better you're blessed. Well, I tell you, I hurt myself on blessings more than anybody else does. Because I act so contrary to God sometimes. Folks, I'm telling you, the thing of being a Christian is not an easy thing to get over with this old nature inside of you. And if it is for you, then please tell us your secret. So James is trying to establish something because he's going to go on and say, now this, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. Don't be just a hearer. Man, that's a good message. And I don't plan to do it, but that's a good message I just heard. No, he said, be a doer. And if you're going to be a doer, then you got to put off some things, put on some things. Let's pray. Father, thank you tonight for the privilege it is to preach the word. Our Father, help us. Now, everybody in this room, whether we're outrageous with our wrath, or whether we boil on the inside like Jezebel. We've got wrath. Husbands and wives' relationship may be damaged because of wrath or anger that's lashed out. Maybe a child and parent relationship because of anger. Maybe the testimony of the church or the Christian's been hurt. More than that, your reputation's been hurt because your people have acted out. I pray, Lord, help us tonight to be swift to hear slow to speak, and slow to wrath. Lord, help us to put aside and lay aside filthiness, the superfluity of naughtiness. God, help my heart to be ready to receive your word, that it may change me to be like you, and my life might be saved. In Jesus I pray. This